The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
That America is not suffering from a crisis of politics. We're suffering from a spiritual and a moral crisis.
Coming up, Tony Perkins, the president of the Family Research Council, opens our eyes to the critical hour we are living in.
We, that's a collective we. As Americans, I believe God will hold us accountable for the direction of this country.
A call to awaken and humble ourselves before God. Next.
It is a great day, and I, James Robinson, and Betty not only welcome you to life today, but I want to just say thanks to all of the service members of the armed services and all of the families who gave us the great gift of preserving and protecting our freedom through the lives of those who've served so faithfully and who literally gave it all that we might enjoy the blessings that freedom offers. And God knows, Betty, I want to protect and preserve it. I don't want to sit here and watch the future being stolen from our grandchildren, our children, and others. And I think it is being, in so many ways, stolen. It's being stolen by a worldview that basically leaves God out, maybe a courteous acknowledgement that if you're mentally somewhat lacking, you might believe there's a God. But he's pretty well been removed from the public square, and that's too bad because that's costly. And I really believe there's some things we can do about it. And our guest not only served in the military, in the Marines, but he serves in the Special Forces right now for the glory of God and his kingdom purpose, and in order to protect your children's future, your grandchildren's, yours. I want you to welcome Tony Perkins, who heads up the Family Research Council. Welcome our guest to life today.
Tony, good to see you.
Thank you, buddy. Good to be with you.
I love you. I thank God for you. Thank you for your service. As much as I appreciate the military, I want you to know I appreciate what you're doing now, because I have watched you for years with the Family Research Council and all you're doing to show us what it means to repair the hedge, the walls, to restore a foundation, to at least recognize the preciousness of what we have been given and what servicemen have, quote, given their lives to preserve and protect. You're in the trenches trying to inform us, trying to call us to prayer. I want you to share with our viewers the three points you emphasize with pastors and leaders that you believe will help lead us to spiritual health and security and stability. Tell us about it, but we're just thrilled you're here.
Well, thanks, James. It's good to be with you. I hadn't really thought about in a while the comparison between the days in the Marine Corps. I actually, looking back on it, probably boot camp was a lot easier than what we're doing today in terms of fighting for the culture. And I remember being back in boot camp, I never prayed any harder for the second coming, hoping that I wouldn't have to run that 12 miles the next day. And I find myself, praying, Lord, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And it's because I see, and where I am today, after I came out of the Marine Corps, I was a police officer for a number of years, and I was in elected office in Louisiana. And this is all about people, and it's where our culture is headed, and with every policy that we pass, people are impacted by it, and children in particular who have no real voice in the process. And we just did a study on the rate of belongingness and rejection. And today in America, only 45% of America's children are growing up in intact homes. Now, I know there's a lot of heroic single moms out there doing a great job. And by the way, our studies show this, and this is all documented from the government's own research. That single mom out there struggling to raise their child, you know the best thing they can do to give that child a fighting chance is to take them to church every week. The studies show it, that it almost offsets the loss of a father in that child's life. So there's hope, but that hope is found in the church. And if there was ever a time that the church needed to be about the Great Commission, sharing the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ, now's the time. We need that hope.
Well, you know, when they go to church, if they see what they should see in the church family, they'll see the Father.
Absolutely.
And when you know the Father, you don't live as orphans. We have too many people in churches living as orphans because they don't understand the relationship with the Father. When you understand the Father's love, He loves everybody. And I know you love everybody, but you're based now in Washington. And I mean, it's like you said you served as a representative. You served in an elected office. Well, there could be some people in churches say, well, how could you get into politics? It's dirty.
Oh, did they?
It's dirty. I can't believe you'd do that. That means if they think that way, that means only dirty people can be involved in it. And that's a tragic way to think.
Well, look, I was in elected office from
Louisiana. So are you a dirty people?
Well, listen, when my wife and I felt the Lord calling us to this, and this is the last place I was going to go, I did not grow up in the political realm. I was not a college Republican. I didn't do any of that stuff. I think the only thing I did before I ran for office was put up one yard sign. And the Lord called me and I said, you're kidding. And so we decided to tell our families that I was running. And the response was, oh, you're going to be just like the rest of them. You're going to be corrupt. Now, that was my wife's side of the family, so. but that was a response that I often got from the church. I had a lot of pastor friends, but when I got elected to office, I didn't hear from them. Because the idea was that if you're in government, you're going to be corrupt. Yeah. Well, the reason government is corrupt is because there's not godly people in it. If we want godly government, which Proverbs says, you know, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, there's a reason.
That's right.
Because the righteous will rule in a way that is beneficial to
everybody.
All of society.
Everybody.
When you're walking in relationship with Jesus Christ, you cannot help but love your neighbor. That's even the one who doesn't know the Lord, that one who's involved in a lifestyle that is clearly contradictory to the teaching of Scripture, you still love them. Mm-hmm. You love them enough to tell them the truth.
Sure.
Well, why do you think that has happened, that we have been, as Christians, as a church, convinced or whatever you want to call it, that there is that separation there and never the twain shall meet, in that we can't really have a positive effect because we've been told, okay, we want your vote, but don't get mixed up in this because it's corrupt, just like you said.
That's a great point, Betty, because what I have always found, and this is true in the natural as well as the spiritual, where the enemy doesn't want you to go, they'll make the most noise. They'll start to say, look, separation of church and state, we don't need... Why do they say that? Well, it's not really separation of church and state. It's a separation of God and humanity. Because God ordained government. Government is an institution by God.
Absolutely.
And that's one of the... As Christians, we've got to be careful of how we approach government and elected leaders. Now, I don't agree with all the elected leaders, but I do feel that we should pray for them and be very careful what we say about them, whether we agree with them or not. Now, they're those positions of authority ordained by God. And we got to be very careful in not rebelling against those authorities. Now,
you know, when you choose, and what God says so clearly in Romans 13, and really when you just really study the whole of Scripture, we reap the consequences of choices, whether you choose this day whom you serve, whether the gods of this world or the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whether you come to know Christ, who's the manifestation of the Father, so we can see Him and then live in us, whether He's the Redeemer. All right, so you look at this, you see this, and you're making choices. As it relates to government, you choose, especially where we have the right to choose, we are choosing the leaders who pass the law, the legislation, enact the policies under which we endure too often, or by which we can be blessed, benefited, and assisted. Not benefited in the inappropriate way, like the guarantee of happiness, but rather the guarantee to pursue happiness, which requires accountability and responsibility. Don't ever forget that. It's not something you just throw out. It requires something. So what happens is when you choose leaders, and they're not righteous, like Tony said, and the unrighteous rule, the people mourn.
That's right.
Well, so what you're doing is you're seeing the judgment of God revealed in the choices you've made when you choose a bad leader, a poor leader. And now we're telling the church, just stay out.
Right.
Well, if the church stays out, if the righteous stay out, who in the world is going to rule?
Yeah.
And what we're seeing, we're not seeing a lot of people we just call wicked, but we're seeing people with a very twisted worldview that really leaves God out, don't acknowledge God as God, but maybe just a byproduct of somebody's imagination. And when these people get in place, they enact with all kind of promises, all these futile attempts at doing something worthwhile,
and
the walls come down.
And it cost us three times as much and doesn't come near solving the problem. And, you know, going back to Romans 13, where God appointed these authorities, these mm-hmm. powers, he's actually speaking, I believe what Paul's talking about is our positions of authority. God
right.
established authoritative mm-hmm. positions, not individuals. And I think you're right, especially in our system of government, we have the unique privilege of being able to select our leaders. And I believe that we will give an account as Americans, as Christians in America, for the leaders that we have selected over time that have led this nation in the direction it is. The fact that America is funding the killing of unborn children, both here and abroad, we cannot wash our hands of that as Americans, because those leaders were selected by us.
That's right.
And we were not troubled enough to do something about it.
And give the three points that you bring pastors together, and you're seeing
yes.
miracles begin.
Oh.
When they get on their knees, God's putting them on their feet. They don't just live on their knees. They come from their knees to really become a light that pierces the darkness. What are those points?
Well, James, I have seen in my experience of being inside government, being on the streets as a police officer, and now being an advocate for the family in Washington, that America is not suffering from a crisis of politics. We're suffering from a spiritual and a moral crisis, and an absence of a recognition that there is a God who created us. And as the Creator, He set the rules. And I believe, I think this is why I'm in Washington. I would rather be full-time in my home in Louisiana, where the food is much better. I believe that it is a call to the pastors of America. Within the spiritual crisis that we face, we must have the spiritual leaders leading the church first, each of us as Christians, to live out what we want to uphold in society. We first have to live it out. And that means that we've got to be pure and holy in our conduct, and that we've got to love our wives and our husbands and our children and raise them in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And so the pastor needs to challenge people to do that. But first, the pastor has to get the heart of God. And I believe God's heart is broken for America. I believe He's broken for those, mm-hmm. those children. 17% of the children in the African-American community will grow up in an intact family. I mean, can you imagine the hurt and the loneliness
sure.
and the
I
rejection?
I see it, and I love these precious people.
God's
I love
heart,
anybody that's struggling.
God's heart is broken for them, and I believe until the church begins to get God's heart and our heart is broken, that we cannot mend the brokenhearted. And so we're challenging pastors to pray, asking pastors to make a six-month commitment to begin to pray for our nation and their community, and begin to get God's heart for their community. Then secondly, we ask them to, it's our three P's. The second P is to preach the Word of God. Pastors have been made to feel like they're not relevant to today's issues, you know, because you got CNN. People 100 years ago wanted to know what the pastor had to say. Now they just turn on to see what Wolf Blitzer has to say. and that all has its place. But nobody can help us understand better than someone who's going to take the Word of God and compare it to what's happening in our day. And that must come from the pastor. How do we deal with the issue of embryonic stem cell research? What does the Word of God have to say about it? You know, it does have something to say mm-hmm. about it. What does it say about our lifestyles? It has something to say. And if the pastors aren't bold enough to proclaim that truth, why do we think the politicians will? And there's an absence of that moral clarity coming from the pulpit. So we're challenging pastors to preach. And the third thing we're challenging them to do, and this is actually the hardest, is to partner with other pastors in their community, is to go across denominational lines, go across ethnic lines, and stand arm in arm with other Bible-believing pastors and encourage one another, pray together, and allow God to use them to impact their community.
Well, you're talking about being a demonstration.
Absolutely.
Of what God's called us to be. And I just look at it this way, too. I'm a mother. I'm a grandmother. We have 11 grandchildren. That's enough reason for me to care and to offer hope
Absolutely.
To others and to want to reach out and make a difference.
Absolutely.
Well, and Betty is she's an activist in the sense of she does pray, and she cares deeply. And she's become as informed as you could ever hope someone would become as a homemaker. And she wants to know. She doesn't want to be an uninformed voter. And she's committed to it. I mean, we don't want to miss anything that we're supposed to participate in as a responsible citizen. If the church people would just become informed about the issues, the Family Research Council, in my opinion, is offering as much wise counsel. You've got a brilliant staff. You've got people who have really studied and researched the various areas of concern to the family. Every area that anybody at home is concerned about. What about my future? What about our economy? What about jobs? What about opportunity? What about education? What about my future as far as, you know, being able to take care of myself or who's going to look after me? Well, what about all these programs that have been, you know, depleted all the funds or misused? What are we going to, well, you're going to have focused people who really have wisdom and who really have concern about meeting legitimate needs in an appropriate fashion, making decisions. Or you're not, those of you who say, I like to help others, you're not going to have the wherewithal to help anybody or even meet your own needs. If we continue to deplete our potential and make an enemy out of people who can help us learn how to be productive and fruitful, even in our economy. So you're going to have wise people. We all need to participate. The Family Research Council, and there it's been on the screen a while. You see their website. I'm asking you to go on there. I'm asking many of you to say, you know what? I want to make a very definite difference in my community. I don't want to see becoming concerned about social ills and about the decisions that legislators and the elected officials make. I don't want to be uninformed about how I could make a difference. I want to know the appropriate steps. They can give you the information and insight. There is the website. Some of you are going to say, I want to participate in the process. I want to get involved in impacting in a principal way the parties and what they're doing. I don't want to be partisan. I want to be principled and get the imprint of God's kingdom on those parties and those participants. I want to be involved. I may want to run for office. I may want to help somebody run for office. They're going to help you do it. Tony, I want to thank you. Join Betty and me in just saying a big thanks to Tony Perkins, to the Family Research Council. Tony's going to be back with me later in the week and join a pastor that you talk about meeting the needs of people. One who's helped rebuild the pain and the devastation and destruction on the Gulf Coast of Louisiana and over all the way down the Gulf Coast, being able to help inspire pastors to put their arms around the suffering. And he and Tony have worked closely together, so you don't want to miss that program later in the week. Tony, what we're doing right now, I know you love. We're putting God's arms of love around a broken world, and we couldn't do it. And I want you to know, these viewers, they're going to be praying for you. I pray many of them will connect with you. I pray the pastors who are listening will afford themselves the opportunity to get your material. I pray they'll get involved joining in this partnership you're talking about, not only prayer, but making a difference. But what we're doing, because of our viewers, we're putting God's arms around a broken world, literally. People that would never be noticed. I want you to look. And I want you to hear the heart of God through a person you love and respect, and that's Beth Moore. I want you to look at the need that I promise you we can and together we'll meet. Watch closely.
Do you know, I know many of you see those pictures. You read the news stories, you see the headlines of how many children so desperately need help, of how many children are starving here on the continent of Africa, and you say, it's not right and it's not fair. that a child should sit here in a clinic like this and die. Die as a result of a simple lack of food.
No, this, it's an inconceivable sight. It just, there's nothing that prepares you to see a child in this kind of condition. It is almost unbearable. We have got to get to these children in the villages, in their homes, in the schools, way before this happens.
Ooh, let me just tell you that those little eyes blinking right there, that little boy with his, so we may say, the skin's just falling off his little body. That little baby didn't live. And I can see those eyes. See, I don't turn away from pain. I guess if I didn't know a God big enough to meet any need and a God that loves enough that if he can just find available hands, he will touch the suffering. I guess I probably couldn't bear to look at it. And one of my prayers for our viewers, Betty, is that they would not do the easy, the natural thing to turn away, but that you would turn to God and then in God's behalf turn to those little children. Because I want to talk to you about thousands of little kids, a 500,000 of them that our missionaries have in place. You say, what do you mean in place? They found them. They located them. In all of their pain, in their need, and they said, if you will enable us, we'll take care of them. We're going to love them. We're not just going to talk to them about God's love. We're going to demonstrate it to them. We're going to show them the love of God. But Betty, every one of those missionaries would be there with empty hands and empty bowls. Our missionaries try to give these starving children a little bowl of porridge, a nutritionally designed mix for that particular area's need. And this bowl, it was your idea. Years ago, you saw them with little tin cans and sometimes plastic bags that the hot soup mix would burn right through the bag and the kids would fall down on the ground trying to get it out of the dirt. And you said, give them a bowl. Give them a heat-resistant bowl. And the missionaries said, we can't afford to give them bowls. They're starving. And you said, we'll give them a bowl. And we won't give them an empty bowl. We'll give them something in the bowl. You have been the most incredible, indescribable inspiration to us for years. I mean, you are a joy to the Lord and a source of life to those little children. So we come to you twice a year and we ask you to give a gift that'll keep giving life for the next months. Now, I'm not exaggerating when I tell you this. This is not total child care. This is life-saving nourishment. It is a nutritious mix. And oftentimes, Betty, in the malnutrition clinics, it's the basics of intravenous feeding. It's the sugar and oil. It's the things that we'll just try to save them at the last. You provide all of that. $30, $50, I'm not exaggerating, or $100. We can take care of 3, 5, or 10 children for the next several months. Would you dial that number right now, please? I mean, it's just pretty easy to sit there and look at me. But see, I really prayed a lot that God would touch your heart and you would touch someone with his love. I'm praying, I'm believing that about you. Some of you have done this and said, it's been such a joy. Well, help us now so we can share with them the opportunity to live. Show them the love of God. Some of you, it's your first time. Some of you have never done this before. You want your prayers answered? Seek to be an answer to someone else's prayers. You get involved with what God's concerned about. Watch what happens to your concerns. Watch God's focus. You be an answer to their prayer. Would you dial that number, take your bank card, make the best gift you can. If you can help us save 10 lives or 100, please do it. 3 or 5, whatever you can do. We've got some special gifts for you to help you understand the beauty of God's kingdom in you right now. Thank you for making that call. You get a busy, you call until you get through. Or you can go online and make that gift, lifetoday.org. But I'm asking you to make that gift now. Thank you for doing it.
At this very moment, a child is drawing her last breath, struggling to stay alive due to a lack of food. Sadly, this impoverished child is not alone, and without our help, many like her throughout Africa face death as well. Today, you can make a difference. You can save a life. Life's mission feeding teams are in place right now, ready to answer the hunger cries of 500,000 children throughout remote areas of Angola, Mozambique, and Sudan. With previous food reserves gone and Southern Africa facing its worst conditions and food shortage in more than two decades, we desperately need to replenish our supplies for the feeding programs immediately. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you the God's Kingdom in You audio series and companion scripture guide. James and Betty Robison, along with Beth Moore, inspire you to live every day in the power and presence of God. With your gift of $125 or more to help feed 10 children, you may request both the video DVD and audio series with scripture guide. As a bonus, we'll also send you Jim Hilton's new book, The Supernatural Skyline. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help save the lives of 100 children, and be sure to request the beautiful new Heart of the Father bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online.
I do want to remind you that when you make the gift God puts on your heart, you're going to receive God's Kingdom in You, the study guide, and the CDs. And if you make a gift of $125, which will enable us to feed 10 children and give them some of those beautiful heat-resistant bowls. But we'll send you the DVDs, the CDs, and the study guide, and also Jim Hilton's book, The Supernatural Skyline, where heaven touches earth. This is just a tremendous book. God used Jim to just really impact my life 30 years ago and then again last year. It's profound. We want to bless you by helping you understand God's kingdom. Now, not the heaven to come, but the presence of heaven, that power of God right now in you. Powerful. Thank you for your gift. I want to say thanks to Tony Perkins again, Family Research Council. Hope you'll go online and learn from him so you can be a blessing to others. Join us thanking him. Thank you. Bless you. We'll be talking to you later in the week. What a good pastor. Thank you. Thank all of you for watching. Betty, we got great friends, don't we? You're friends for life. That's what you are.
Have had an addiction to porn or been abused, but you may have other pain in your life.
Permission to speak freely tomorrow.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.